Good morning. Good morning. Yes, my name is Nate, and I get the honor to be a part of this team here. As you've already heard today, it is Mother's Day. Mothers, happy Mother's Day to all of you out there, whether you're an adopted mother or maybe a foster mother or a bio mother or a spiritual mother. Happy Mother's Day to you. I genuinely and honestly and deeply pray that you feel celebrated today because you deserve that. You deserve to be celebrated. Mothers, you are indeed amazing. I also want to acknowledge today on Mother's Day can be somewhat disorienting for some of us. You may even sit here today and feel an opposite sense of emotions. You celebrate and you also might have some difficult feelings going on inside of you. I think Mother's Day is a perfect day for us to join with the Apostle Paul when he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We might feel excitement and honor for the mothers among us, but it also may be an incredibly difficult day. Maybe your mother is no longer with you. Maybe your child is no longer with you. Maybe you've been trying to get pregnant for years. Maybe you had hoped to be married by now. Maybe your motherhood journey isn't the journey that you expected it to be. You wouldn't trade it for anything, but it's still difficult. And whatever your journey is, I just want you to know that we honor you, we celebrate you, and we care for you. Now, if there's anything that I do know about most mothers, is that you're exhausted. You are wiped out. You are tired. You put in long, thankless hours doing so many different things. I should ask permission before saying this. Silas wrote a card to Alyssa this morning and completely missed like all the things that she does for him and only talked about his sports games. You put in long, thankless hours and you're probably exhausted. I pray that today's message doesn't add any more burdens onto you. But I hope and pray it actually does the opposite. As Matt said, we are continuing in our series, The Way of the Lamb. When I said we were doing it year long, yeah, we're just powering all the way through all the holidays, The Way of the Lamb, the whole year. In this series, we've been looking at Jesus's way of life. We've been looking at his teachings. We've been looking at his character. We, especially over the last few weeks, have been looking at Jesus' tone. Yes, tone, the way he speaks. And I don't know about you, but throughout this series, what I'm finding is that the way of the Lamb is so much different than how I have seen culture portray Jesus. So much different than even how Christian culture portrays Jesus. Maybe for you, it has felt to me even different from the way that I usually imagine myself experiencing Jesus. And I think this week's passage highlights just how different the way of the Lamb really is. And I think it highlights more than most of the passages that we've seen thus far how different the way of the Lamb is. Yet, it might be one of the most familiar passages if you find yourself within a church setting. You probably know this passage pretty easily. If not, I want to invite you on our journey together, Matthew chapter 11. In the Gospels. It is the first gospel written, not the first book in the Bible, but the first gospel written. Matthew writes chapter 11, verse 25 is where we're going to start this morning. It Matthew is writing and talking about Jesus, an account of what Jesus has said. So even though Jesus is speaking here, Matthew is the one that is writing. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal to him, to reveal him." Then verse 28, this is probably the familiar part. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Before we go any further in the message, let's pray. Jesus, you spoke these words to your closest followers, but we get to read them today. And I just pray that if there is any in the room, which might be all in the room, feeling weary or burdened, I pray today that we would grasp the invitation that you have given us here. Please help us to find rest for our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two things that I want us to take note in this passage, but we're not going to actually talk about those two things very long. We're going to talk about a third thing for most of the rest of the message. Two things that I do need to acknowledge, though, that we see in this passage. Verse 25 through 27 show us that Jesus reveals God the Father. Other places in the New Testament confirm this. In a letter written to the Colossian church, the Apostle Paul, he says this: "The Son is the image of the invisible God." I heard someone say this week in our preaching collective that we bring together, we spent decades, actually a couple hundred years, as the overall church, convincing ourselves that Jesus was God. And maybe today we need more time acknowledging that God is Jesus too. That God the Father is visible through Jesus. Jesus reveals God the Son. Nope. Jesus reveals God the Father, too. He does reveal God the Son, also. So both of those things. But he reveals God the Father. And every time I talk about revealing God the Father, I also want to acknowledge that talking about him as Father might be incredibly difficult for some of you. We talked about this just a couple weeks ago. If it is difficult for you to view God as Father because your own parental figures, your experience with them has been painful, I just want you to be reminded once again, if that's difficult for you to see God as Father, you are normal. You are normal if that is difficult for you. Yet, Jesus shows us who the Father is. So that's thing number one. Statement number one, Jesus reveals God the Father. And then the second thing I want to acknowledge within the text is this: Jesus is rest for your soul. We see both of these things here. Verse 29 and 30 says that Jesus' burden is light. And in him, that is where you find rest for your soul. Jesus invites you, if you are weary and burdened, to come find rest. Are you weary today? Are you carrying burdens today? Are you weary or burdened? Do you have many burdens that you feel like you're only placing on your shoulders? Jesus invites you to bring those to him. Now, the interesting thing is he may not take those burdens away. If you say, well, I'm burdened, I feel weary about my burdens, is it my fault that I'm burdened? Jesus might not take the burdens away. He will carry them with you, or maybe even more accurately, he will carry you. He's inviting you to come to him so that he can carry with you, or maybe carry you. Jesus reveals God, and Jesus is rest for your soul. These are the two statements, the two truths that I want us to see from this text, but it's not the thing I want us to talk about most. The thing I want to talk about most is how he is these things. Jesus reveals God as Father. He is the image of the invisible God, and he is rest for your soul. But what I want us to look at is how. How does he reveal God? And how is he rest for your soul? I think it's found in a little phrase in verse 29. Matthew 11:29. For I am gentle and humble in heart. In a couple of weeks, we're going to transition from talking about the tone of Jesus. We're going to look at his character. And what better way to look at his character than to look at his many I am statements. So when he says, I am something, there's a few of them in the Gospel of John. We're going to look at those in a few weeks. We'll start our time in our series there. And I recognize this week at some point, wait a minute, I should have put this in that part of the series because this is an I am statement of Jesus. When Jesus says his overall existence is gentle and humble in heart, his character is gentle and humble in heart. Why? Because it's his entire way of being is gentle and humble in heart. For our series, we probably could say, the way of the Lamb is gentle and humble in heart. But for now, let's just put it up here like this. Jesus equals, right? I am. Jesus equals gentle and humble in heart. Gentle and humble in heart. Now, if this is part of God's character, if he is this, I don't know about you, but I want to immerse myself in God's character. And these two words help describe his character and who he is. So, if you would with me, just for a few minutes, let's do a deep dive into these two words, gentle and humble. Sometimes if we're looking further into these words, we can do some study on them. We can study our English words because that's the way that we are receiving them, the way that we are hearing them, the way that we are reading them is in English. But you do know that these words were actually written in a different language, in the original language of Greek. And even more confusing, Jesus probably spoke Aramaic instead of Greek, but Matthew writes them in Greek. And so what we can do is we can do a little bit of a deep dive to understand these words more, to give us more nuance to these words. But I just want to make sure this is clear. You might hear us sometimes talking about Greek words or Hebrew words here. You do not need to know Greek or Hebrew to understand your Bible, just so you know. Yes, they were the original words that were written, but sometimes we think, well, great, he can understand Greek or Hebrew, but I can't, so does that mean I can't understand my Bible? No. There were scholars, linguists, that know about these words, these original words, and know about English that translated your Bible. And so you can understand your Bible just by reading the words on the page that you have. You don't need to know Greek. However, it can be helpful sometimes to understand the depth of the word. So that's all we're doing here. You can understand your Bible, but come along if you'd like. The first word, gentle. There are multiple Greek words that we use to translate gentle. So gentle is made up of a few different Greek words that you can find throughout the New Testament. This specific word in this passage is only used 3 times in the New Testament. And one of the other times is the same word that Jesus uses when we translate, blessed are the meek. The word meek and this word in this passage, gentle, are the same Greek word. So when Jesus uses this passage and says, I am gentle, he is saying my whole way of being, my character is meek or mild or modest or soft or quiet. And I'll just confess that I think almost every time I hear the word meek preached about in church, or every time that I feel like I'm preaching on the word meek, I just feel this tension that I have to qualify meekness as strength. And we always feel like we have to qualify meek is actually really strong. But what if we just need to sit with the word meek without any strong qualification? Brother, sister, Jesus is meek, period. And I invite you to even sit with that statement, to let that sit into your soul and pay attention to what comes up. What's coming up in you right now with no qualification of power? Jesus is meek, period. We'll come back to that. Jesus is meek, but what about the other word, humble? I was letting that sit for just a moment, yeah? We'll come back to what comes up in you. What about the other word, humble? This one probably has even more nuance than the first word. And I'm going to give a quote here out of a book, and I just want to acknowledge that the book that I'm going to quote from a couple quotes here, this one and a few more in the message, comes from a book called Gentle and Lowly. It is related to this phrase here, and I just want to acknowledge that the pastor who wrote this book has it's been since found out that he's actually kind of a bully to his staff, which is fairly ironic because the book is called Gentle and Lowly. It's frustrating to me because this book is a really helpful, good book at seeing the mercy and love of Jesus in my own life, and I would even recommend it to you in your life, and yet we find out that sometimes our character doesn't line up with what we say we are, and that is not helpful for us, even in the witness of who we are as a church. That's why we're doing the way of the Lamb, is our character lining up with who we say we are. Just a side note, okay, to the quote, sorry. The pastor writes this, typically throughout the New Testament, this Greek word, this word for humble, okay, remember where we are, this Greek word refers not to humility as virtue, but to the humility in the sense of destitution or being thrust downward by life's circumstance, referring to the socially unimpressive, those who are not the life of the party, but rather cause the host to cringe when they show up. I hope I don't cause the host to cringe when I show up at a party. But he proposes that this word humble here, because remember, it's not humble as we think of as virtue, like I am a humble person, it doesn't mean that. But he proposes that this word humble could actually be better translated as lowly, hence the title, gentle and lowly. Lowly, someone who is viewed like an outsider. Lowly, someone who is viewed in low esteem. Someone who doesn't look powerful or successful. Someone who you'd rather go to the other side of the street to avoid. Someone who is down and out. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. In his very heart, in his very character, deep within his soul. The God of the universe, which verse 25 in this passage said is Lord of heaven and earth, has come down, has come low. No wonder he was born in an animal trough. No wonder he was a carpenter. Because he is, in fact, characterized by lowliness. Jesus is characterized by his lowliness. Why do you think so many marginalized people feel like they can come to Jesus? Why so many down and out people feel like they can come to Jesus? You read the gospel. And just constantly down and out people, people that had been pushed to the margins, find themselves at Jesus. Why? Because it was his character to connect with them. He describes his own character like this. I think this is the part that I find most fascinating. He is like one of those people who feel like they are an outsider or are viewed in low self-esteem or aren't successful. He is like one of them, and he describes his own character as such to go on in that book. Gentle and lowly. He says, this is according to his own testimony, Christ's very heart. This is who he, that is Jesus, is. Tender, open, welcoming, understanding, willing. And if someone was to ask you, if we are asked to say only one thing about who Jesus is, we would be honoring Jesus' own teaching, right? Because this is what he said, I am gentle and lowly. We would be honoring Jesus' own teaching if we respond gentle and lowly, not lonely. Gentle and lowly. I just want to stop here for a moment. Where else do you see leadership like this? Gentle and lowly. You see leadership like this in politics? Could you imagine a candidate defined as gentle and lowly? What about in churches? Are churches defined as gentle and lowly? When was the last time you heard of a church defined as gentle and lowly? Honestly, I pray this is what we can work toward as Union Center Christian Church. But as we just sit in this, that just sounds so obscure, so different, so strange. Like, could you imagine gentle and lowly churches? Gentle and lowly leadership. It sounds so obscure. So back to what comes up in us. Since we've gone a deep dive a little bit with these words, let me change this. Jesus is meek and lowly. There comes meek again, which for some of you might send shivers up your spine. I'll be honest. As I sit with this statement, Jesus is meek and lowly, what comes up in me is fear. Fear that, oh, I haven't proclaimed Jesus as strong enough. Fear that, oh, that means if I want and believe that I should follow in the way of Jesus, I should also act with meekness and lowliness. Well, I don't want to do that. People will laugh me out of the building. That's what comes up in me when I hear Jesus is meek and lowly. What comes up in you? What comes up in you that your God, the God of the universe, is meek and lowly? Maybe for you, it's a feeling of calm and peacefulness. And if that's what comes up in you, and I just want to say this, and I just want to affirm this in you, you are being formed by the way of Jesus. That's beautiful. But maybe you're like me, and that's not what comes up. Calm and peacefulness. That doesn't necessarily mean that you are feeling calm and peaceful, but just knowing that the God of the universe is meek and lowly, that might in you incite a calming presence. You might not feel calm, but you are very glad that Jesus is indeed that. However, maybe you're like me, and what comes up in you are feelings of defensiveness, or maybe even fear for lack of power. And if that's what comes up in you, kind of like what comes up in me, maybe, just maybe, you are being more formed by the power structures of the world than you are of Jesus. Maybe for this series, we should ask it a little bit differently. Are you living in the tone of the world or the tone of the Lamb? How's your Facebook feed look? Are you living in the tone of the world or the tone of the Lamb? Some of you are like, Facebook, what's that? Instagram, TikTok. That's not a thing anymore, is it? That's gone. Is that gone? I don't know. Doesn't matter. You're not here for that. The tone of the Lamb or the way of the Lamb is gentle and lowly. This way of being, this way of the Lamb is so countercultural, though. It's so counterintuitive, honestly. Like, we're like, we feel like we have to grasp at power and strength just to get by. This is the part that gets me. The way of the Lamb as being gentle and lowly is so counter-religious. When was the last time you heard of a religion sounding gentle and lowly? It's not. We want to be influential. We want people to hear about our God. We want to tell people all about those things. We want to gain power and think that's the way we're going to influence everyone. The way of the Lamb is gentle and lowly. Look around. Look at what trying to gain power and control have gotten people. Look what anger and harshness have gotten us. Maybe we need something different. Do you look around the world and say, yes, this is what we need, more of this. Bring more of this. No. I guarantee almost every one of us in here go, no, we're craving something deep within our soul, something different. So maybe then we should look to something different. Maybe we need a different way, a way of a lamb. The way of the lamb is gentle and lowly. And I think this is just such good news for us, that we have a different way. We have a different way. It is good news. We have a different way. We don't have to continue on the same track as everything else. We have a different way. Brother and sister, let me say that again. We have a different way. We have a different way. It's good news for us. And maybe for you today, it is such good news because you've been told that you have to be strong. Carry it all. Take it on. Take on more. You have to overcome. You have to fight the pain. You have to push through. You have to keep it together. You have to be the strong one. And yes, there are times when we do have to do that. But when that is our default setting, or in the words of tech, if it's the default setting, not a bug in the system. When your default setting is, I have to take it all on, when it is your modus operandi, then no wonder you're weary. Everyone's telling you, you got to take it all on. That's exhausting. No wonder you are heavy laden. Through her own story, in the words of mental health therapist and author Andy Kolber, she says this: the strategies I had been using my entire life, hustling, overworking, overthinking, and constantly shifting to accommodate, I love this, the dysfunction that surrounded me. They had kept me alive, all those things. They had kept me alive, yes. But now they were taking their toll. Being the strong one is great until you can't anymore. We weren't created to hold it all. There is one person who can hold it all, who holds the whole world, sustains everything. There is one. And he came gentle and lowly. You've been told you have to be the strong one. No wonder you're weary. We weren't created to hold it all. And so what do? Go back to that book. Well, we look to Christ. He deals gently with you. It's the only way he knows how to be. The minimum bar to be enfolded into the embrace of Jesus is simply open yourself up to him. It is all he needs. Indeed, it is the only thing that he works with. You don't need to unburden or collect yourself and then come to Jesus. Your very burden is what qualifies you to come. No payment is required. And he says, I will give you rest. His rest is a gift, not a transaction. It's just so hard because everything in our life is a transaction. for the most part. Jesus is meek toward you. It is a gift. Jesus is gentle toward you, and it is a gift. As the Lord of heaven and earth, he knows exactly what you need, and what you need is every day, every moment, Jesus saying this to you, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The tone of the Lamb is gentle and lowly in heart. And he is inviting you to receive that. He is inviting you to receive his gentleness, to receive his lowliness. He's inviting you to live even with this same gentleness that he has been given to you. And I just love this. Jesus is inviting you into a gentle way of being. Right? Going back to, he said, I am gentle and lowly. His entire being was gentle and lowly. He is inviting you into a gentle way of being. And how do you know that Jesus will be gentle with you? I think that comes some of the fear. Well, everything else around me is not very gentle. How do you know that Jesus will be gentle with you? Well, as we celebrate every week when we come to the table, we recognize that Jesus was slaughtered for us. And yes, I use that word intentionally because that sounds really aggressive. He was slaughtered to show you that he would be willing to go through anything to give you his gentleness, to be gentle toward you. The entire world was against him, and yet he was still gentle, which is why we come to the table every week. What we get to do is we get to take the elements of communion and remind us that these elements, this cracker and this juice, represents Jesus's body that he so gently gave to you. He took it all on so that you could receive his gentleness, so that you wouldn't have to be the strong one to take it all on. He knows that you couldn't do that, so he takes it all on for you. And every time we come to the table, we are proclaiming that Jesus has been gentle toward me. Every time. That Jesus has been gentle toward me. And so I encourage you, if you can say that today, maybe if you know, I need that reminder today because everything is pulling against me and says opposite. If that fits for you, I encourage you, don't miss out on coming to the table. Whether you're a member here or not, that is not a qualification that you need. The qualification that you need is to say, yes, I proclaim that Jesus has been gentle to me. Yes, I proclaim that I want Jesus to be gentle to me. Then I will encourage you, don't miss out on coming to the table. We will respond, and I'll give instructions for how we come to the table in a moment. But it's the high point of our service because it's where we get to start to embody. We don't just hear about it, but we get up and take action, and we can say, yes, Jesus is gentle toward me. I encourage you not to miss out on that. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need your gentleness. Jesus, we long to see your gentleness and lowliness in our lives. Jesus, we cannot do this alone. We need your help. So many of us are acting as if we have to be the strong one. And I just pray that we could fall into your arms and experience your gentleness toward us.